This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on,
you do as I tell you.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name's Amanda, and with me today is my wonderful, hilarious, and slightly neurotic co-host, Ed Nightingale. Oh, no.
Wow.
Wait. Wow. No, that's just the masks we were wearing earlier. I'm actually here with Moni, just as usual.
Slightly neurotic. Wow.
Sorry, Ed.
Oh, God. He's not gonna ever come join us now.
Ever again. Sorry, Ed.
Oh.
Sorry.
Hi, though. Hello. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing pretty okay. How are you?
I am doing better than a couple of days ago. That's for sure.
Yes, that also.
But yeah, otherwise I'm doing well.
How are the inside of your four walls?
That's not true. I've been outside today. I've been at the pharmacy. The inside of my four walls is very insidey, probably still very plaguey. But otherwise, very monotonous. Monotonous, is that a word? Very much the same of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now that I have like my own bed here, which I just showed on stream, but obviously on the podcast, nobody can fucking see that. But yeah, my bed, my current makeshift camping bed situation, which is two mattresses on top of each other, is right behind me because this is where I'm sleeping for the last week or so now.
Oh, wow. And why have you been sleeping on your own in your office?
Well, because we're a bunch of idiots. And we went to a super spreader event and we obviously got COVID because who the fuck is surprised? No one.
No one. Not a soul.
Literally no one. Nobody.
No.
Was it worth it? Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way, as it would me if I had heard that like 3 months ago. But it was really worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us died, so I feel that's fine. that's like the lowest premise of it. Like, so far, I feel we're all making our way through it kind of lightly, which is good.
Hmm.
Let's hope it stays like that and long COVID can fuck off.
Yeah, absolutely agree. But, as Audrey Wodonga said, it's the new merch, the new swag.
True. Have you even been at TwitchCon if you didn't get COVID? I don't think so.
Mm-mm. Impossible.
But it's just interesting to see that literally everybody who's been at some kind of con that we know, or even like previous guests, like Geek Girl Strong, she also went to SSDC and got COVID. So I feel with all the non-regulations, it's not even like, and wasn't even surprised. Honestly, I wasn't even surprised.
Same. And I will say, like, that Robin Warren, when she went to San Diego Comic Con, that's Geek Girl Strong. Like, the COVID guidelines over there were a lot stricter than at TwitchCon, and there was like masking and mandatory vaccinations and everything. Yep. And like, she still has come home with the swag bag.
I had no idea with the swag bag. I had no idea that they had like proper regulations there, actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, TwitchCon didn't have any of that. Nothing like this. It was very much in your own hands whether or not you're going to wear a mask. Obviously, all of us were a bunch of idiots and didn't wear any. But yeah, so this is what we got from it.
Yeah, but just like on that note, I would say like most places in Europe anyways are not really doing any kind of COVID restrictions anymore.
Yeah.
Like the UK, it's not required social distancing, masking up. It's like not a thing at all. here in Northern Ireland, and I think in a lot of places in Europe, it's just like people don't do it anymore. I do.
Yeah, I know.
Very few
people. Tom was asking if people, anybody wore masks at the event. And yes, some people did. Like, some people were wearing the masks. And I know also a bunch of people started wearing them at the beginning, but then obviously because nobody was wearing any, they also like kind of questioned whether or not it's worth wearing them still, and then didn't in the next following days. But yeah, it was very, very few people. Mm-hmm. I do think, however, that those who wore it didn't get it. Like, I know like two, at least, or three who were wearing them like very regularly. And I don't think I've read that either of them had it. So
there's a lot of evidence that says that masking actually makes a difference.
Yeah. So. And it's just, a group was just really big, and there were lots of hugs that were exchanged. So I feel like that's also just a big part of everything. We just spread it amongst each other like a token of love, I feel like.
Basically.
But yeah.
And yeah, I would spread it around my friends again for that token of love.
It's very true. So
I mean, like, I don't want to make a habit of it, but I'm just saying I would do it again. It was great.
I'd rather not have had it. Like, if I had have had the option, I would have chosen not to get COVID.
Sure.
But I also, if I had to choose between hugging everyone and not hugging anyone, I would have still hugged everyone because it was really fucking necessary. Also, if people are not quite aware what we're talking about today, we're going to do a recap of TwitchCon, which we've been 2 weeks ago. So on the weekend over the 16th.
That sounds right. Yeah, 16th and 17th of July.
Exactly. So we've all went to Amsterdam and met everybody we've got to know on Twitch over the last 2.5 freaking years.
It's been such a long time.
It is such a long time.
I mean, like, number one, we got to see each other in person for the first time in 3 years.
I was literally just going to say that we haven't seen each other for how fucking long. It's like, and when you say it, it sounds just so fucking long. But at the same time, it's this COVID warp years that like didn't even really happen. But it's 3 years is a really long time. We have not seen each other longer than we knew each other, kind of like before. So it's really, really weird. But it was so, so, so good and so fucking necessary. Holy shit. I was happy to see both you and Tom as well. I was like, this was, all of it is still worth it, even though I'm still dealing with an angry bitch of a human being at home. But I mean, we get over that eventually, I suppose.
I hope so.
But yeah, one way or the other, I'm sure. No, but honestly, it was just, and we all thought initially that we weren't going to really go to the con and just like hang out together. And I actually wish we would have done that more, but we actually all went to the con on both days.
Yeah. And basically, like, we went in the morning and we stayed there until the end of the day.
Yeah.
Going to panels, walking around the expo hall, artist alley, just the food menus, just like there seemed to be so much to do at TwitchCon, which everybody was like, I don't think I'm really going to go to TwitchCon, but we'll get tickets just in case.
Yeah, it's true. Like, it was, and I still said, I only watched like three panels or so, three things from the schedule, but it still was at the venue all day. And it wasn't even that I felt the need to do a lot of other things. And the expo hall wasn't even something that I was super excited about or like super interested in. I know you and Tom and Sunny really were. And I just was like, yeah, whatever. I don't need to. But you still just walk around and like group up with people and then like disperse again and group with another group because we were so big. It was, so a lot of us went. So it was like a massive group with a lot of little clusters of people, and you just walk past one of them and then you join those and then you walk past the other ones and then you're like, where are you going? Oh, we're going for food. Oh, great, I'll join you. So you're just like bouncing around like a free particle throughout the entire con, and then all of a sudden the day was over.
Yeah. Like it went so fast, despite being there from like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning until 6, 7 o'clock at night. Like it went so fast. Like there was just always something to do. At no point that weekend was I like, I'm bored. Like, I wish that I wasn't here.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing is I had a little shoe saga.
You had a shoe saga?
A shoe saga. So I bought a new pair of shoes.
I remember now.
And like, they were so nice. They were very comfortable. When I tried them on, I was like, these fit great. Perfect. Oh, yeah. Can't wait to take these away with me. As soon as I put them on and like started walking through the airport or walking to the airport in Belfast, I was like, these shoes are half a size too small. And so my toes are all crunched up and like my feet were just in agony basically all weekend. And I would not recommend that.
No.
Because we were on our feet walking all weekend.
That is true. I honestly have no idea how you did that. I was very concerned about the foot, the shoe situation. Are you dying? No. I was really concerned about the shoe situation. So I bought like before, like a good while before that, and tried to wear them loads just because I was really concerned that I will not. Number one, I'm zero fit, right? Like, there is zero fitness in me. So I was already like, I need to walk a lot. I'm pretty sure I need to walk way more than I usually need to walk, because usually I just walk from my chair to the fucking fridge and the back. So I was already aware that there's going to be a lot of walking, and that means I need shoes that can do that, that will not make this a fucking pain in the ass. So I bought them earlier and like walked them in and like tried to see, will they give me blisters? Will they not give me blisters? Turned out they gave me blisters twice, but not once at TwitchCon. So I felt like I've walked them in properly before. But very good. Honestly, wrong shoes. So bad. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. I felt for you very hard, because Jesus.
Like, they were so comfortable. Like, the feet of them were so comfortable, but because my toes were pushing against the edge, like, my whole foot was, like, cramping up. And it was just, as the days carried on, I was just getting more and more, like, I don't want to be on my feet anymore. But other than that, which was absolutely my fault, there was no, like, boredom, anything. I don't know. There was nothing. Yeah. Like, it was just a fun-filled weekend with lots of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
What was your favorite thing about it?
Okay. So, I suppose that we're not talking about meeting all of our friends. We're going to talk about actual TwitchCon.
I don't know. Should we? I mean, I'm fine with whatever.
Okay. Well, aside from all of our friends.
I feel that could be a separate topic in the end that we swoon about for like 30 minutes.
Okay. So there was a couple panels that I went to that I actually loved. So the first one was a live recording of High Rollers, which, okay, as somebody who's as obsessed with D&D as me, as I am, like, I'd never heard of High Rollers because I don't do a lot of like actual play podcasts. Like, I don't listen to them because I don't listen to podcasts, despite having one and working on them. Like, that's it. I just don't try to listen to podcasts.
She's listening to a shit ton of podcasts, people, because listening to podcasts is very great and a great time. So geekcaring.com, just saying.
but yes, so despite that small fact, like, I've never really gotten into actual play podcast. So this live recording of High Rollers, where I went with Gary from Belfast, a fellow Northern Irish contingent, was awesome. It was probably a highlight of my weekend, because it was so cool to see the audience, who all like love these D&D actors, and it was like a prologue to a new campaign. So like, I didn't feel like I was missing anything from like a long campaign that they've been running for like 3 years. And they had like a couple guest stars come up on stage, and just the energy and seeing them all like act out their characters live on stage. Like, it was great. It was 90 minutes. I thought it was an hour, so it was a bit longer than I thought it was going to be. And I had an absolute blast, and I really have to thank Gary for it, because otherwise I wouldn't have gone. Because I didn't know what it was.
Nice.
But it was great. It was a highlight. And I'll definitely be doing my best to maybe watch some of that.
That was the way this just turned out to be so absolutely unconvincing at the very end of the sentence.
Well, I keep saying that I'm going to listen to these things. Like, I've asked my friends who are super into Critical Role. I was like, okay, so like, how do I get into this? And they're like, okay. And like,
it just doesn't. I don't.
And I know that of myself, but I keep saying that, like, yeah, maybe I'll do that. Yeah. And like, I don't.
But I think it's really otherwise really interesting because it's kind of like, I mean, it's role play and obviously they are more like leaning towards being actors and actresses already. So I feel that must be really entertaining to see and like and listen and have this live storytelling and then acted out by people. Because obviously when you do it yourself, you're really also invested in the story and stuff. But when you also listen to other people's, that this actresses bit of how do they translate these stories into making it really interesting to watch, and then it's just interesting how they actually translate that. I feel
absolutely that, like, it was a lot of fun just watching them improv and ad lib everything like right off, and everybody was up there in costume, which we all know that's really a lot of fun. So yeah, it was just a lot of fun. Like, I absolutely enjoyed the heck out of that.
I'm so glad you and Gary went.
Me too.
It's so cool. So cool. Also, I mean, he's just gonna love Gary as well. Like, he's just the most adorable shit to walk this earth. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can see it. I can see. I just thought it was real. Like, if you looked at the schedule, there was a lot. And it's just also nice that they had bits that were maybe a bit more niche, maybe not just random like gaming content, but like also what you can do during and what Twitch is all about. Like, what it's not only white straight men playing COD or like a bunch of Minecraft kids or something, which there are a lot of, and there are a lot of them were also Twitch, come on. But also there are a lot of other things, right? There's like there's the D&D, the Critical Role, High Roller, all of that, and then there is cooking stream here and there, and then and then there is the drag showcase and the drag category and stuff like that. So it's just really, really, really broad, and you wouldn't know, would you not be part of it somehow? And like, I feel there's a space for everyone who wants one on Twitch.
I think that's what I love the most about Twitch.
It's true.
But like, can we talk about the drag showcase?
Yes, we can very much talk about the drag showcase because that was incredible.
Yeah. It was amazing. So Dona Tart co-hosted the very first drag showcase of TwitchCon ever, and it was, for lack of any better words, fucking incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I already have like a really, and I'm so stupid about this, right? Because I know they have no idea who I am, but I have this super ridiculous parasocial relationship with Dona, just because Dona has been on Split the Screen, formerly known and now known as Swapping Joysticks, with Ben and Ed, right? So I've watched Dona talk with Ben and Ed, and I feel like I know her even though I don't know her. So I just have this massive parasocial relationship with her, and she has no fucking clue who I am. Like, she's never like seen me before or whatever. And I'm just like, you are the best person, you are the funniest person, you have no idea who I am, but you're amazing. And I'm like cheering you the fuck on because I think you're glorious. And she's just like,
oh my gosh,
who the fuck's that weirdo?
I mean, I'm kind of the same because I was in a raid to Dona's stream once, and I'd never heard of her before, because I'm as good at Twitch as I am at listening to podcasts, but I'm trying to get better. And I was like, oh, you're from Dublin, I'm from Belfast, and we had like a little bonding moment in her stream. So I'm like, obviously now we're best friends. And so like, seeing her at TwitchCon, I'm like, hi Dublin, hi.
And she's like, what? Like, you're
she's like,
the 20th person to have mentioned anything about Dublin to her that day or some shit.
Yeah, she's like, nice cake, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's shite.
It's shite, your cake's shite. But she just has, I think Dona just has this incredible and just absolutely out of this world hilarious natural humor, who I'm just it's just the right kind of everything, really. It's the right kind of like being like filthy and being sassy and like so witty and quick. It's just a pure joy to watch her do literally anything. I think she can have a shit on the shitter and I'd be like, yes, fuck yeah. And it's just, she's just that good. And she was incredible for during the drag showcase, honestly. It was so, so, so good.
Was that your first ever drag show?
Yes. Like live, yes.
Yeah.
And what did you think? It was really cool. Like, I only watched RuPaul before and I've never seen anything live. And it was just really fun. I mean, also, I'm also very biased because I was sitting next to Ed while it was happening. And that in itself is an experience, I gotta tell you, because he was just sitting there. He was snipping all the time. And it was just so funny as well that I feel like I had like double entertainment here, triple entertainment. I had Donna and Nikki as the presenters. And there were the drag artists who were incredible. Mm-hmm. And then Ed next to me just being like, yes, bitch. Yes, bitch. And I was just like, this is the best fucking day of my life. This was so good. It was so funny. Honestly, it was really, like, it was a combination of a couple of, obviously, drag artists who did drag on stream previously, and a couple who were actually, like, live performers and have, like, had, like, drag shows. But because of the pandemic, they, like, kind of also moved to Twitch a bit. So that's why they kind of all met there. So a couple of them were really versed in live performance, which you could so fucking see. And it was so good. And the others were, like, doing a really good job with their first live performance on a screen in front of like 60,000 people who were watching live on Twitch on the main channel. It was really, 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 really great to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was great. Like start to finish, I was entertained, and just the talent from the ones, like you say, who were performing for the first time was exceptional. Like it was so much fun to see drag queens up on stage getting cheered by like 65,000 people, both in a packed like auditorium and across Twitch. Like it was unheard of,
honestly,
but phenomenal. And like there was such a range of talents as well. Like there was like physical talents, like Aubrey or Audrey, I always get that wrong.
Aubrey, I think.
Aubrey Wodonga, she was like doing a whole hula hoop routine, which was spectacular. There was like
so good.
Proper lip sync battles. There was a strip show basically, and then there was like there was humor brought into it as well, which has always been such a big role and a big part in drag performances. Like I was peeing myself at one point. Like I was laughing so hard. I was laughing uncontrollably.
Was it Heather Festigen, her Back to 1999?
Uh-huh.
That was so good.
Oh my gosh, she was so good. Like I couldn't catch my breath. I was laughing so hard at that performance. Yeah. Like
it was so good.
I was sitting next to Cap, who is in chat here with us. Cap could not breathe. I also could not breathe. And like, I think the fact that neither of us could breathe was really egging each other on. Like, it was wonderful. It was fantastic. Like, it was just, 100%. It was everything that I wanted a drag showcase to be. And it delivered and then some. Like, it was fantastic.
Honestly, it was really, really, really good. It was really good. And they had so much fun, and it looked it like it's, you could see it. They were really proud of all of their performances, which it could have been. And I also feel it's so important because they showed it to a group of people who probably never had any connection to drag previously. And we know that sometimes the gamers TM of this world can be like really fucking everything, like homophobic and transphobic and like really fucking bigots in this world and just absolute cunts to anything that's a bit looks or seems different to them. But they swayed so many people. I feel like with his performance as well. And there was a drag panel, which was pretty stupidly positioned at the same time as the ending ceremony. So that was really, really shit. But there were people in there who you would assume they also like asked questions and then like came to the microphone at the end, who you would not think would actually go to, like, if you stereotypically look at them, because which is also bullcrap, I know, but you were like, I'm surprised you're into, like, you would come here instead of the Glitch Theater to watch the end ceremony. But they were like, I've watched Distraction for the very first time and it was amazing, and can we give applause to all the amazing queens here and stuff? And you're like, holy shit, like, this really moved the needle, right? And it was so good. And they also at this panel talked about how many people came up to them and said to them, this was the first drag show I've ever seen and was incredible, and I had no idea what it is, and it's so I feel like that was really just such an important move as well from Twitch to do that and do it on the main stage, on the main channel, at the height of evening important programming, right? So that was just really, really good.
Oh, that's amazing to hear. I didn't go to that panel. So what else was at it?
What else was at the panel? Or who?
Yeah,
they
drag talked about panel.
The panel was called The Categories Drag, and it was like all the drag queens that were on the on the showcase, almost all of them. Like, it was Evo, Miss Cookie Dough, Donna, Audrey Aubrey Wodonga, and Marshmallow. They were the panelists, and Eva was moderating, and they talked about their journey and how they came to Twitch, and basically their most stuff like that. I don't remember much anymore now. But also like comparison to their journey before and how they've done all of, like, how they connect with their sisters, like the drag sisters in wherever they perform, and all like stuff like that was really interesting too. And it was also really fun. Funny. I think they are on, you can watch them back on channels. I think there are VODs. We could put them maybe in the show notes or something. Really worth a watch, just because it's also really, they were just really fun again. They just generally answered questions very greatly, and also how important it is for them to like be here and be queer and be loud and do what they want to do and do what they enjoy, and how Twitch helped them obviously also a lot during COVID too. So it was a really nice panel. Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
But again, I'm really stupidly positioned time wise.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's not good at all. A panel that surprised me. And one last drag talk panel here before we move on out of drag, which, I mean, do we ever really want to move out of drag? I don't think so. But we will eventually have to talk about something that's not our lovely queens. Donna held a workshop, I guess it was more like, where you actually got to physically decorate a little mini cake.
That was so good.
I personally went into that panel expecting it to, like, her to maybe talk about cake decorating and, like, the art of baking and drag. And, like, I don't know. But no, we were plunked down with a cake and decorations, and we had to decorate a fucking cake, and it was amazing.
It was so good. When I read the panel description, I was like, I think this might be like what she does on her stream, because what she's doing on her stream is having like these bake-offs, basically, where four people like bake a cake and fight against each other and one wins in the end. So I thought that's what's gonna happen, that she has like a couple of others that will do it with together with her, but then all of us did, which was really cool.
Setting my cake. So we had a challenge, cool. Like, it was kind of a bake-off, wasn't it? We had a challenge where we had to decorate this cake, and the theme was TwitchCon Amsterdam. And Moni's cake actually was fantastic. She made on the top like an I Heart BB out of little like balls, yellow and black balls, and then she drew a poop
ball.
And like, that was great. Who that doesn't love the poop and BB?
we're not going there. But yeah, it was the art of a 5-year-old. You also had a hidden cock on your cake.
I did.
And what else did you? Was it a landscape?
No, it was just kind of, I decorated it with like chaos and happiness. And it was to express the feelings that I had about being at TwitchCon with all of my friends.
That's true.
Yeah. But then I also had a hidden cock on it, which, you know, that was great.
I honestly don't think that would have fit on my cake. That the feeling of being with my friends at TwitchCon, there was not enough room for this amount of happy on my cake.
That's why you drew a poo instead.
That's why I drew a poo instead, because that's how I deal with my emotions. I suck them up and I shit them out.
That's true. That's a delightful, delightful thing.
No, I'm not shitting my emotions out.
I'm just looking. Tom has dropped our cakes. Pictures of our cakes in Twitch chat. We didn't win, but I think looking at them, I think we did a pretty good job.
I mean, you did a pretty good job. I just created some.
Your poo has eyes, so like I think we're good.
I'm not sure if it's a good idea if your poo has eyes. But yeah, it was really. But yes. The most important, and I feel, do you have any regrets?
Do I have any regrets? About the actual convention? No.
Yeah.
You?
No. I mean, I don't have regrets about anything. Like, there's nothing where I was like, oh, I wish I would have seen that, but I didn't. So that's not anything that I have regrets about. The only regret I do kind of have is that I wasn't aware how much time it's going to take away from all of us being together.
Mm.
Well, that sounds super fucking cheesy.
So cheesy.
But that's basically what it, like, Tom regrets not getting more pictures. That is also true.
That's very true.
I was putting my faith a lot in everybody else to take pictures. But that also means that because none of us, the three of us, kind of took loads of pictures, we don't have loads of pictures together.
It's true.
Which I'm like, oh, fuck that.
Hardly any pictures.
But Tom's also right. He was just kind of too busy enjoying the moment, which I feel is also fair. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to be on the phone all the time and take pictures of everything instead. Taking it in is way better. What I wasn't aware, I thought all of us wouldn't really give a big shit about TwitchCon and what is happening there, which everybody said they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And we kind of didn't, but we kind of still spent all the time there.
A full day.
Yeah. And because it was as busy as it was, and because the group is also really busy, I feel there wasn't a lot of time for us to really just sit and be together. And that's kind of, and obviously everybody had different interests, and other people were really busy, because it is a really, really, if you want to use TwitchCon professionally, you really can. Like, this is the moment for you to shine and to talk to literally everyone. And I feel a lot of people did that as well, right? So they used it for their career and for work, and it makes all, this is super fucking valid. But it takes a lot of time away from us all, like, sitting and chatting. And you can't, even if when you walk the halls, obviously you chat a bit, but you can't have, like, conversations, like, super proper, like, long conversations. You just walk and chat, and it's all very superficial, but...
Yeah, surface, like, level.
Surface, like, level, yeah. That's the word, exactly. And, yeah, you just, like, walk around loads, and then I feel that just kind of, we didn't get to do that a lot, like, to just sit and chat and, like, talk about deep shit, which is not necessary to, like, sit around and talk about deep shit, but it's just, like, getting to know each other even better, and I feel like we all really, like, I had nobody where I was like, you are so, so different online than you are in person. Like, everybody was exactly the way I expected them to be.
Which is so nice. Tom and I were talking about this yesterday, about, like, how genuinely nice everyone was. Because, like, there's always that worry that somebody is going to be, like, a little bit snarky, or, like, not quite as they appear on stream, or, like, maybe, I don't know, they're not as nice, or they're a bit snobby, or like insert something here. And there's, it's always yeah. like, oh, I hope that they're exactly the way that they are, because they're so awesome on stream. So hopefully that, yeah. you know, is the same when you meet them. And like, everybody was like, everybody that we went with, everybody that we met up with, like they are exactly as they are in stream, which is so nice. Excuse me. It's so nice.
100% agree. Yeah. 100% agree. And I feel I've always had this like head, like really barely in my life did I meet people online and they weren't as I expected them to be. Like, and maybe I can count those on maybe one hand, if even. And right now I can only think of maybe one person who was like, you are really a cunt, like in person, but not. But that's also often people that I didn't have like super massive contact with, right? Like they were like always the kind of on the periphery of the people I mostly connected with, and always the ones I connected with, the in person, they were always the same. And I feel like I have a hand of picking and like getting to know people online, and they really are who they say they are, and they really also behave in like IRL the way you would. I got to know them online, and this is just the same thing. This is just the same this time as well. So it was just so good to meet everyone. Mm-hmm. And I wish there would have been more time, honestly. I feel there wasn't enough time.
I agree.
There was just not enough time.
I agree. Some of the things that I not necessarily regret, but wish we did a little bit differently is like at nighttime, instead of trying like going to very loud clubs and bars, mm-hmm. like if we had found somewhere quieter, so that we could actually talk to each other and have those conversations. And like maybe being a little bit more organized for evening meals, because I felt like there was quite a lot of confusion with that. But like that wasn't anything to do with TwitchCon. That was just like gay organization. So, you know.
But also you kind of didn't want to. It was kind of the, I feel it was really difficult to be super organized. You can be really. Sorry, I just need to interrupt this conversation because Charlie is talking bullshit in chat and I need to react to this immediately. Charlie said I can add him to the list later, that IRL, you'll realize IRL that he's not cute and actually horrendously terrifying. This is bullshit, Charlie.
Charlie is maybe a dinosaur, and if I met a dinosaur in real life, I would probably poop my pants in fear because...
I mean, as much as Charlie wishes that he was a dinosaur, he's not a dinosaur. I've seen pictures.
Well, then, sorry, Charlie. I tried to defend your fearsomeness.
And I would just, maybe I would just squeeze you a bit too hard when we meet Charlie. That's all that's going to happen. redeem reward. Say something nice about Charlie. Not right now.
You just did.
But yes, I feel it was nobody kind of want. I feel because nobody kind of knew, right, whether or not if it would be like great, then how many people are there really and who is coming. Like it was really hard to then be aware of, okay, should we organize some food for all of us together? And also it was kind of organizing like 20 plus people when they arrive and you don't want to miss out on that anybody can. And then other people had like other commitments on other days, so that wasn't really a great day to do this anyway, because on the first evening until everybody was here on Friday, it was already like what, 10? Like Miko came really late, so you wouldn't have put it so early as well, because then one wouldn't have been able to join. Then the day after there was the partner party, Ben wasn't around, did all that stuff, so it was really difficult actually to find a day to say and let's do that. And obviously because we were too many, nobody could cater to us, so we had to split up very often, which was really sad.
It was.
Tom saying walking up to restaurants and asking a table for 25 and seeing the waiter's jaw hit the floor was the best. It was really good, yeah. You wouldn't believe how difficult this is. Like, even though they have, like, open and there's room and they're, like, come up as a group of, like, 20 and they're still, like, we can't deal with you. We just cannot. Yeah, and just it's nope. Like, well, nope. Yeah. So, yeah, I just wish there would have been more time, honestly. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing that I would do is I would make sure that I was there maybe like a day, a full day before and a full day after the con.
Yeah.
Because it felt like we got there. We went out for dinner as a massive group of like 20 people. We went to TwitchCon all day. And we left.
Yeah.
Like that was it. There was like Tom and I didn't see Amsterdam at all. We like except for walking around at night trying to find restaurants. And like, I mean, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I left on Tuesday, which I feel was better because I still had all of Monday left and you just had to leave on Monday early in the morning. And then, then that would have been it. But yeah, it's just, wish there was more time. Honestly, it's all I can say. I didn't cry when I loads. Let's just say that. I didn't cry loads when I said goodbye to people. I cried loads. Always in the evening, like when I was and I already was anticipating that going back home and stuff, and I wasn't ready. And then I cried later when everybody was gone and I was all by myself.
I was actually doing so good. I'm just going to talk right over your song here. I was doing so good, like getting ready to say goodbye to everybody. And then the first person I said goodbye to, Cheesy, started to bawl. And I was like,
no.
Nope. And then I started to lose it. And I was like, now I've got to say goodbye to all of these people. And he started me crying. The very first freaking person that I hugged. I was like, damn it, Cheesy.
I know, it's so bad. It was so bad. I feel I've done well in person. I cried a little with you and Tom. I feel that was fair. I didn't cry with anybody else loads, but I cried later.
Much have you cried since being home?
I watch my reel too often and I'm just like, don't, it's really hurting my heart when I can't not watch it. And I can cry right now, but I don't wanna.
Okay, so we're gonna
they're all so far away. This is the worst.
We're gonna go let's just leave the topic of crying for a little bit. And let's talk about the things that we think TwitchCon could have done better.
Oh god.
As Moni sits there wiping her eyes.
So I'm wiping off the wet of my face. We've been at the only LGBTQIA+ panel, and it was absolute dog shit. You have never seen a shitter panel in your fucking life. And it was a disgrace and it was horrible. And they can burn it to the fucking ground. And this needs to be so much better next year. Because it was so bad.
So, what happened? I wasn't at the panel. I think it was at the same time as High Rollers, wasn't it? So, I didn't actually get to see it.
Could have been, yeah.
So, what happened?
Well, basically, it was called... They called it LGBTQIA+ Chit Chat. It was a group of like 5 or 6 very young queer folks, mainly all of them playing Minecraft. So they knew each other quite well from all of the tournaments that they've been doing. And they had all of them streaming not for very long, most of them at least, all like really got massive fame during the pandemic. And I mean, the Minecraft community is young and huge. So there were so many people in this panel and they were all fangirling and fanboying about them at the stage. They could have let a fart rip, the worst fart you've ever heard in your life, and they would have cheered them the fuck on, which that would have been probably the only thing I would have been really able to relate to, because they said one thing and they cheered and screamed and shouted. It wasn't really a conversation that was going on. It was like, how is it for you? I've been gay for this long. I came out this time and this is, I like, blah, blah. So it was just like, when I think of a panel, I think of a discussion and I think of what can we do and what's going on and whatever and blah, blah, blah. This was mainly a broadcast of everybody's stories, one after the other. And honestly, it's great. I think it's so good that the young folks of this world don't have massive issues coming out as queer. But I think it's so important to honor what has happened before them. Mm-hmm. And they did no such thing. Like, it was, I actually, my parents are really supportive and I have no problem being queer. And like, my community was really great and just came out later and whatever and ha ha ha. And so many of them had no, there was no reflection in their, like, I don't know, like, one, I think, also said, I don't have a lot to say to this. And I'm like, why the fuck are you here then? Like, why the fuck are you saying anything to this topic? And then everybody, they just said something and everybody screamed. And then the next one said something and everybody screamed. And you just, like, sit there as, like, 30 something and are wondering what the fuck is going on, because this is not a panel, this is like a hype event of people who have a big fan base, and then you could ask questions in the end, and there were questions like, what is your favorite Stardew Valley thing? And I'm like, this is not what Stardew Valley character. And then one of them asked them about the hate rates, and previously all of them answered everything. For this question, only two people answered, and that was just like, congratulations, cheers to the mods. And I'm like, this was useless. Wow. This was so useless. A lot of people left. Well, a lot of people, obviously not the woo folk, but we were all sitting in the back and like in the last row, and like you could see people walk out because it was so, so, so bad. And again, I think it's great. It's like you watch Heartstopper and you're excited because young folk have a good nice representation now. They're what they see on TV and what they see in stuff is not all just trauma and trauma porn, but it's also like really like good storylines of people coming out and it being like easy and nice and great. And it's great that it's easy for them. But fuck me, there are people that are just 10 years older sitting right next to me not having experienced this. And you can't sit there in a public forum and not honor them and not have a conversation about it as necessary. And it was just broadcasting and being like cheered on for simply existing. And and they're all, I don't even want to say they're all cunts. I feel they're all really like they're nice and they try nice and they are nice, but they're really young. They equally probably have done this streaming thing for like most of their adult life or like a lot of their adult life. So I feel there is no, I feel you can see this broadcasting persona where you speak and nobody speaks back to you because you're the only person there entertaining everyone. You could really see that. Like, there is no culture of discussion that was going on during this thing. There was like one after the other, after the other, after the other, and the next. And we start from the beginning. And I would have hoped it would have been some kind of like conversation and like, how do you think about this? What do you do in your channel? How do you do it? Like that kind of a back and forth. And there was no such thing. And
yeah, like a bit of support for like LGBTQ streamers and like how to like deal with something like a hate raid or like experiences in your chats and the community that comes with being like a queer streamer, because there is a great community. And like, I can't say that I'm sad that I missed that panel because it sounds terrible. Yeah. But like I obviously there's a lot of room for improvement, and hopefully Twitch will take on board the feedback, which I know a lot of people have been giving, to improve that kind of panel for next year, or even if 100%. They're going to do something similar in San Diego. November, I think.
Yeah, I think so. November, October, something like that. I think the issue with this panel situation was really that people could apply for panels and I don't think they got paid anything. So that immediately made Twitch not responsible as much for the content. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they were grateful and they accepted panels and they obviously knew a lot of people and it made like sense to a degree. And I feel also for this one, especially for the queer panel, I feel this was a smart move because they had a queer panel that was packed in the second biggest room because all the people on this panel were people with a huge following. So Twitch can say, in theory, can say now, we had a queer panel and we had like whatever how many hundred viewers and probably however many thousand viewers on stream because of the people they sat on the panel. And they would not potentially have been able to say that because otherwise there would have been people who would have not been known as well or not have such a big kind of fan base who have already who grew their stream under the queer tag already and not like came out later when they already had a fan base. So I feel that all makes a massive difference in whoever is there. And I feel that's also it looks nice on paper. Like the numbers for this panel, I'm sure look great on paper. And but otherwise, I don't think Twitch has a lot of influence on what the panels are about because they also kind of said they can't really tell them what they should be doing because they're also not really paying them. But that really, I feel it's just like washing my, I'm innocent and I can't be responsible is also really a Twitch thing to do. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame though that the panel, like the only LGBT panel was like that. Yeah.
And, yeah, I think they should curate their panels in general more. that's something I would probably suggest. Like, I think what Twitch is not really aware is that they also do have a responsibility. Like, it's not just fun and games. Media is never just fun and games. Like, television is also not fun and games. And we've talked about this loads. Like, pop culture is always also partly educational. That's where all of the Marvel movies deal with like political things. Now, well, political things. It's not political, it's life, and life is fucking political. And games are political, and like what you do, and it's not just for fun, it's also educational. And I feel they're not taking the responsibility that they actually have, which is it is culture building what is going on here. And you kind of need to make sure that what you put out there is worth putting out there. But because they played as if they're innocent and it's not anything to do with them. And put the weight onto whoever created the panels. It's so easy to be like, yeah, we couldn't say loads and it's not our responsibility, when in fact I do think it actually is Twitch's responsibility as the biggest streaming platform to do something good there.
Absolutely, I agree with you. So hopefully that's something that can be brought forward for improvements for next year.
Yes,
and maybe we will see an LGBTQA panel with some of the badass queers that we know on it.
Yes,
who will actually, I'm pretty sure, do a really good job.
I'm going to be the one screaming then.
Woo!
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm going to be so embarrassing. You're very proud, but very embarrassing. It's true.
I think another improvement that we made was accessibility, Moni. I know you have a story something that happened. If you would like to share that.
In general, what do you think accessibility-wise, probably?
Accessibility-wise, I think it was okay. I'm not saying it was great, but I don't think it was the least accessible event that I've ever been to. For example, at the High Rollers panel, there were sign interpreters at the front taking turns, like signing through the whole thing. I thought that was fantastically accessible for the deaf community and the hard of hearing community. It was really fun to actually watch them because they, as sign interpreters, genuinely are, like, they're very emotive. It was a lot of fun to watch them.
What do you know what language they were translating in? I was wondering if one was Dutch and one was English, British Sign Language, or if both were like British or American or something.
I'm not sure because I was quite far away and I didn't really see. And I only know a little bit of American Sign Language. So I don't know. But like, I still thought that it was fantastic. And there were two languages, but I don't know what the languages were.
That was really cool.
Like then there was like physical accessibility, there was like elevators, there was escalators, so there were options to get people up and down the floors.
And were there lifts?
Yeah, there were.
Oh, I didn't see those.
Mm-hmm. There were, because sure, there was so many people around on motorized scooters. How else do they get up there?
That was my thing, though. That because I was thinking that I didn't actually see a load of elevator thingies, because you say escalators, anyway. And I was wondering that, because it had like different kinds of floors, I don't think it was really super accessible there, because number one, there was this different kind of levels and floors where you had to go up and down. Like when we went to the Glitch Theater, you had to go like down some escalators, but then where the fuck would you go up? You already don't know where stairs are. So there were always these needle points where I'm like, how the fuck do people get up and down here if they're in one of those mobilized scooter thingies?
I mean, I do think that there were lifts around, but because I didn't need them, I wasn't specifically looking for them.
Yeah.
But yeah. They were there, and I saw a few of them. Yeah. So I know that there were some lifts around.
Yeah, then I just didn't give them enough credit, to be honest, because I also didn't see them. But yeah, go ahead.
There were some rooms that were quite flashy, like flashing lights, like kind of unnecessarily so. The Glitch Theater being like kind of the main panel hall was pretty bad with flashing lights. They had spotlights swirling all around to the point that like, I had to close my eyes at times because they can trigger a migraine for me. So I was like, okay, this is super. Not great. But I mean, thankfully, I figured it out really quickly and did just kind of close my eyes.
Yeah.
But like that can trigger a lot of things like seizures and everything for people. So like I think that that's something that should have been maybe a little bit more considered for them. Then the big room as well was quite flashy.
It's true, the box one,
loud.
Right? It was really loud. Yeah. It was so loud. A blind person came up to us on one day and started talking to us. And they basically then said also, ask if that they can, it's that it is so loud and like hard for them to navigate because it is so loud. And then I asked if I should go ask somebody about like earplugs, and they said yeah, it would be really, really nice. And I went to the information stand, they had nothing. They sent me to a shop, which I then went to because I'm like, well, the fuck am I, should I just send them over to a shop or whatever? So I went to the supermarket and bought them like earplugs, but there was nothing really there. I feel like also if you are blind and you use the stick to like navigate, I don't feel like the floor was good at all. Like I don't feel there was any
I kind tripped of,
yeah, that too,
like, I tripped a that lot was
dangerous,
so
yeah. And also I feel like you don't have any navigation point there, right? Because sometimes you have on the streets, you have something where they walk over with a stick and then they know that's where the way to is. Mm-hmm. But it was so confusing already, this rise so big that it was so confusing to get around already when you could see everything. So I have no idea how people navigated that they had, because there was no like braille language anywhere that I could have seen. It was just, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really very, very friendly. Like that.
I think a lot of room for improvement for next year.
Yeah.
For accessibility.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it was like I said before, I don't think it was the worst accessible event like I've ever been to. But it definitely was not the best, and they can do better.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, but otherwise, I really liked it.
Yeah, I had a great time.
I mean, also, if I wouldn't have gone, I would have still loved it because I've met everyone. Mm-hmm. TwitchCon or not, TwitchCon doesn't do shit all. Didn't change anything for me in relation to how happy I was, like how happy I was meeting people.
Yeah,
like that was it for me, to be honest.
Same, so. Like that was just the absolute highlight of the last kind of 2 years.
Yeah,
it was. I think we all needed that for our mental health, to like hang out with people who we are so close to every day, talking to these people that we finally got to meet in real life. Like
honestly,
mental health wise, it's done more for me than, you know, like anything, honestly, like over the last few years. And yeah, that matters so much more than the fact that we've come home with a little extra swag that we didn't expect.
I mean, we kind of expected it,
but you know what I mean.
I had hopes. Like, I did have hopes. I honestly, I was aware that it was a really, 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 really high chance that we're going to get it. But I still had hopes because I was like, well, so it's summertime now. So many people have got it already. And I am zero positive. My blood is zero positive. That's apparently good. So I had like, I told myself so much bullshit to be like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It wasn't fine.
It wasn't. But that's okay because we didn't die.
We didn't die. We're not gonna any as well. And I didn't get anybody else sick, so fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I got probably loads of other people sick that I met then, but I mean, didn't make anyone sick at home. I mean, nobody knows.
Tom and I haven't seen anybody, so no.
Yeah.
Like, we came home. Thankfully, my mom is up staying with my aunt, so like, we were just home, keeping it COVID-y up in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, any final thoughts on TwitchCon?
I love people. I mean, I hate people, but I also love the people that I love.
Yeah, that was the
And I really wish none of you were living so far away and we could meet regularly.
Look, I am just going to put this out there, actually. I think that you're the one living too far away and you should move closer to us.
Sure.
I'm just saying, you know.
Well, you still live on an island, even if I moved to the UK.
Yeah.
So I would still need to fly to you.
Unless you move here.
Unless I move here, yeah. But then it would still need a plane to fly to everybody else. So it's always a plane flight away.
Not to Gary Gaz Gaza.
It's true, Gary Gazi Gaz Gaz.
But yeah, that is my takeaway as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There isn't really any other takeaways there.
No. So I have nothing else to say about TwitchCon.
Me neither, because otherwise we'll start crying again and we're not going to do that because fuck that.
Do you want to talk about our announcements? Which we have been teasing for weeks now because...
I forgot about these already.
I know. Because teasing these announcements and then we canceled an episode because we were going to TwitchCon and then we canceled an episode because we were sick and then...
Charlie pretends like he totally didn't forget there were announcements. He's so excited. Ooh, immediately. He's so excited and he just remembered now.
Okay, so our first announcement I'm very excited about. We are going back to a weekly episode format.
Woo! Totally calm. Yes, we wanted to before we left, but then we left and then we got sick and then we didn't have anything weekly, but now we're going to do it weekly again.
We are. So yeah, that's happening from now. We're going to be coming in at you weekly, every Wednesday live on Twitch and every Monday live on your podcast players.
Yes. Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, very excited about that. And we've got some excellent guests lined up already. We've got two pretty awesome guests scheduled in, ready to go to talk about some really cool topics and a whole bunch more that we're very excited to bring on.
Yeah. I don't remember the other announcements. I have to tell them all. I'm sorry.
Oh, it was just I'm starting streaming again. I think that was our only other real
We all need to, everybody go follow Soul Body Geek. So twitch.tv/soulbodygeek. Amanda's going to stream again. Well, if this episode comes out, it will have happened, but on Thursday, the 28th in the morning. So follow her and catch her the next time. If you watch the podcast, if you're on the stream, join tomorrow.
We're bringing back Thursday morning mysteries and who knows what else, because I probably will do two streams a week. Just got to get them started.
Yes, exactly. One step at a time.
One step at a time. We're starting tomorrow. come hang out.
Yes.
Don't leave me all alone.
Exactly. And was there something else? I feel there was something else.
There was, but I can't remember what it was. Charlie actually made a couple guesses. It was pretty close.
But they were all wrong, no?
Were they wrong?
I don't remember.
new stream times, more stream times. Will Amanda start streaming? Also is, oh, Palerino safe to Google. yes, we have been talking actually about a different stream time for our evening for this recording.
But we haven't didn't agree on anything yet, I think.
So
that's, I forgot that's what times we had in mind as well.
Probably going to happen.
It's but we true. Just don't know. It's going to happen. Exactly. But you will figure it. You will hear it first on our socials or here or whatever. Charlie's like, I got everything right, sort of. Yeah, kind of, sort of, something.
Basically,
that's because yeah. you're so smart, Charlie.
Smart. Or we're so totally not as secretive as we thought we were.
I didn't say anything. Kept it a secret.
You did.
Cool beans. Yeah,
so that's that. Cool beans.
Perfect. I think that's it for this week. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
And we will see you next week.
Oh, it's true, next week. For another amazing episode of Geek Herring.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.